right. All right. This morning, we're going to dig into the Word of God. Amen. I started this little series. I don't know if it's really a series. It was just Wednesday and then today, but it's called Don't Miss Christ This Christmas. So we're going to get into those things today, but first let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, that your word, we know it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it will even pierce through the marrow and dividing in between the marrow and the bone, the soul and the spirit. So, Lord, as your word goes forth this morning, I thank you, Jesus, that we receive it right now by faith, and we will receive everything that you have for us this morning. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to do a little review for if you were not here on Wednesday. So let's go into Luke 2, 1 through 7. And they've been having a little bit of, is that one down? Okay, so I think this one will still work over here. I think they had to turn off one. And if those start messing up, then we'll just open up the Bible and do that. So Tracy, are we able to put that up? Okay, that screen's down. Can we still do it on this one or no? We can't. Okay, good. All right, so Luke 2, 1 through 7. Some of these are really familiar scriptures, and sometimes we gloss over things that we've heard so many times, but we need to look at these kind of in a new perspective. So I'm going to start reading here while they do that. Perfect. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was out of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It's interesting to see the little bit of the parallel from back then in the first century to right now, the Christmas season that we're in right now in 2020. First off, there was Caesar Augustus. There was the Roman Empire. It was violent. It was bloody. It was awful. And it ruled the known world at that time. It ruled the known world at that time. So when the Bible says a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to all the world, the Bible really means all the world. That's what it really means. It really means all the world. So if I can put it kind of to nowadays, the pandemic of the day was the Roman Empire. Okay, can we think of it like that? This horrible, awful thing that was sweeping through the land? Can we think of it like that? Okay. All right, so then regulations are being put forth, right? Government mandates are being put forth. Was that not happening? Okay, that was happening. Can we see it here today? Weird, crazy government mandates. They had to get up. The whole world had to travel to go get registered. So they had a census. Did we not have a census this year? Oh my goodness. Come on now. Okay, here we go. So he ordered everyone in the world to be registered at their birthplace. All right, so the economy was up and down and crazy things were happening, all right? Now, verse 7, the last part of verse 7, and I'm just reviewing real quick here because I preached on this on Wednesday. It says, because there was no room in the inn. Business was what? Was up. It was a busy time. But if you think about it, when they knocked on that door to the inn and the innkeeper said, there's no room, there was no room for them in the inn. We have to think what that innkeeper was really saying no to. Isaiah 9:6, and this is a very familiar, and I'm just going to roll through here. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the governments will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The person that changed the world, the person that split time in half, that he would die on the cross and that his blood would cleanse the world of its sin, that he conquered death in the grave, hallelujah, and he rose again on the third day. He ascended and he's on the right hand of God right now, hallelujah. But the innkeeper missed it. Feet away, a baby was being born. And the innkeeper missed it. Can we look to someone and say, I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to miss Christ this Christmas, amen? All right, Matthew 2:1. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew 2:1, and I'm just going to say mainly in the King James Version, just to let you know back there. All right, we're going to start reading through here, and this is kind of where we want to look at the scriptures this morning. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Couple things are happening here. Of course, another scripture that we have read, that we have looked through, that we know well. Even the world knows these scriptures well. They understand the wise men and different things. But we gloss over them. We need to look into them this morning, amen? So Herod gets a visit from these wise men, and they tell him they are looking for the king of the Jews. Can you imagine his response to that? Not a very positive response. You just told a king there is another king that's there. That's not a good thing. Not a good thing. Herod, like you and me, we don't have room for two kings. We do not have room for two kings because sometimes we have decided to be our own king. We have decided to be our own king, right? Can we get real in this place this morning? We have decided to be masters of our own fate, masters of our own ship, except for we're busted up and our ship is sank and people are looking like, you know, we don't see it because we, you know, in our own head and mind, we don't see it. We need to. We need to get a realization of where our life is at. And we need to get a realization that we're not a very good king. That we need King Jesus in our life. Yeah. It's interesting that we don't mind Jesus being in the vicinity, just not the ruler. Yes. He can be in the stable, but not in the house. Father God, help us today. Help us this morning. Hallelujah. So verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Sometimes when we hear that there's another king that we need, that we're taking ourselves off the throne, sometimes we get troubled. Sometimes it's kind of troubling to hear that. He was troubled. We looked that up. Pastor Ricky and I, we were going over this last night. We looked that up. It means to stir, to agitate. Anxious, worried, concerned. Something was rumbling around in our own hearts, in our own life. When we hear about King Jesus, sometimes our flesh, our mind, on the inside, something's not right. Something starts to change. Something starts to move. Sometimes it gets us a little anxious and worried. We need to figure out who this is. Amen? One of the ways that we miss Jesus is trying to be our own king. One of the ways that we miss Jesus is trying to rule our own life. One of the ways that we miss Jesus is that we are troubled by the fact that he wants to be the only king. There cannot be two kings. We are troubled with the thought that now we have someone else other than ourselves on the throne. We don't want someone else to interfere with our lives, our careers, our money, our plans, and definitely not try to change our attitudes in any way, right? We can only have one king. It also says, and all Jerusalem with him. I'm going to read this. We were looking through some different things, some commentaries. Although we are not told how many wise men came to visit Bethlehem, it was likely quite a large entourage. It is doubtful that three men of Persia would cause such an uproar and commotion in the city. There were possibly over 100 who traveled in the caravan from the east, arriving in Jerusalem. Now, mind you, there's probably people on the towers, watchmen, to kind of taking a look. And can you think about their reaction when all of a sudden they see this entourage coming toward Jerusalem? Yeah. All right? This entourage coming through the gates, walking through Jerusalem, and meeting with King Herod. All right? It wasn't just three wise men that we think about. This is a big group of people that are coming to visit with King Herod. It's catching some attention. Can we also think about the fake news, right? Okay, think about the fake news that went through Jerusalem. Okay, so all Jerusalem was worried. All Jerusalem with him. So they are anxious there. What is this going on? I mean, can we kind of put it like that? And you know, our language now, that's kind of out. So the fake news was happening. Something is going on here in Jerusalem. So then, okay, listen to this. Okay, so then Matthew 1:4. Let's read the next part here. Matthew, is it 2:4? 1:4? I think it's 2:4, I'm sorry. Matthew 2:4. And when he had called together all the people, the chief priests and scribes, and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Then he had called together all the people, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. First of all, who said anything about the Messiah? Who said anything about the Messiah? The wise men, they talked about the king of the Jews. They didn't talk about a Messiah. How did King Herod get to the place of king to a Messiah? How did he get to that point? So maybe he knew a little bit of the scripture to know that much. Maybe it was brought up in conversation with the wise men. We don't know. But somehow it got from king of the Jews to Messiah. So he called together the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. This is what they said, verse 5. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. All right. So King Herod, he called for the fact checkers. He called for the fact checkers to come in, all right? As I'm going through this, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just so funny. He called in the fact checkers. He called in the lawyers. He called in the people that were supposed to know the word of God on the subject. He called in somebody that knows about this. He called them in. What does this talk about? You know, maybe he put out a survey. Maybe he put out a poll in Jerusalem. How is everybody doing on the streets with this word of the new king of the Jews? You know, I wonder what was going on, all right? But there is a battle going on between two kingdoms. There's a battle with two kings in our life. We can even see it here in the United States today. There is a battle between two kingdoms. But we need to be looking at ourselves and on the inside of ourselves. A king that finds out he's not the true king of the people. Herod was not a Jew. Why did he think he was the king of the Jews? He was not the king of the people's heart. When a kingdom rejects Christ, bad things happen. And we're going to get into that. It started to go downhill very quickly. Let me just find my place. Oh, here we go. All right, so he called for the chief priests. If we can think about the chief priests as say, church people, I mean, if we can think about the people that are supposed to know the word. So he called for the church people. They actually quoted Micah 5:2. These people quoted Scripture, and they got it correct. They did not misquote Scripture. They did not misquote Scripture. They had it correct. These people knew the Bible. These people knew what was written down. It was in Bethlehem. It was correctly written down. It was correctly reported back to the king. And I love this. And we were talking about this a little bit last night. It is so interesting. 700 years before this event took place, Prophet Micah wrote those words down. 700 years. He was accurate about the person. He was accurate about the place. Hallelujah. And the nice thing is, we have it right here in our hand. We have it right here in our laps. We have it right here on the phone. We have it with us. These words that they reported back to Herod the king, we have it with us right now. We have these same words. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why I love the Bible so much. Accurate, precise. Hallelujah. Let's fast forward. I have a couple questions. Let's fast forward. The next thing, all right, here's the question. I'll just say it like this. Here's the question. Where were the supposedly chief priests, these godly leaders, when King Herod sent out the government mandate to kill all the baby boys 2 and under? Where were they? Where were they at this point? And I don't know how much time goes from this point to this point, but maybe a month before, maybe a week before, we don't know how much time. But there was a time, yay, the king calls me into his courts, and you go to the king's court. And yes, I know the word of God on the subject, and I you know, we give that to the king, and it's fine and dandy, and yay, I feel good about myself. And then a week later, a month later, whatever time passes, and then all of a sudden you hear that there's going to be this awful mandate to kill all the baby boys 2 and under. Where were they at that point? Why did they not tell their people, an awful thing is happening, leave, take your children and run? Why did that not happen? Why didn't they stop it? Why didn't they dethrone the king at that point? Why didn't they say, that is enough? There's another king in town. This cannot happen. Why did they not dethrone that king? If they knew the word of God that accurately and that precise. Hallelujah. Another question. If they really believed what they told King Herod, why didn't they go see the Messiah themselves? We looked it up. Jerusalem to Bethlehem was 5.5 miles away. It is, and I can walk this, I could walk this, in 1 hour and 49 minutes. If I can walk it, I know they can walk it. They're used to walking everywhere. Okay. Jerusalem to Bethlehem, 5 miles, 5.5 miles. Can walk it in 1 hour, 49 minutes. Where were the chief priests? Where were the church people? Where were the people of God at? They missed Christ, the Messiah. We're not going to miss it, amen. We're not missing it. We're not missing Christ. Hallelujah. I wrote this down. If the written word doesn't lead you to the living word, something is wrong. If this written word that we read at home in the mornings, on Sunday morning, on Wednesday, on our phone when we get those cute notifications, oh, a scripture, yes, I'll read that real quick. If that does not lead you to the living word, something is wrong. If we read that word but don't apply it to our life, if we're reading the word but it's not changing something on the inside, something is wrong. If we are sitting here in church Sunday, Wednesdays, holidays, if we know the word of God but our life is not reflecting that, amen, something is wrong. We need Jesus. We can compare this with the shepherds and the wise men. They made the trip. They made the trip. Are we going to make the trip? Amen. Hallelujah. This is a verse that we hear a lot during this time. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But there's a second portion of that verse in different translations that read it this way. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Yeah. Glory to God in the highest, and peace and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. There is a point that we have to look at ourselves and we have to say, God, is my life being pleasing to you? There is a point that we have to look inside of ourselves and we have to go, who is on the throne? Maybe that king needs to be dethroned and we need to put Jesus on the throne of our life. Hallelujah. Everyone wants to read that first part of that verse, but not the last part, because it deals with something on the inside. With whom God is pleased. There can only be one king. Who is the king of your life right now? Who do you have on the throne in your life? Hallelujah. I'm going to call the worship team up to the front and they can play a little bit for me as I finish up here. It says, peace on earth. But you can't have peace in your life. You can't have peace in your home. You can't have peace in your mind. You can't have peace unless you make him king of your heart. He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. We have to dethrone ourselves, and we have to put Jesus on the throne. Jesus, the one they call His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to have everybody just stand to our feet. We're going to sing, O Come, Let Us Adore Him, and I'm just going to have you look on the inside and see what the Holy Spirit is telling you that you need to get right in your life. The changes that you need to make. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
For he alone,
for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy.
I'm going to pray as they kind of softly play there. Sometimes it feels like our life is like an empty present. It's all pretty on the outside, but when you really look on the inside, you feel empty. empty, there is pain, there is nothing. And I will let you know this morning that the only person that can fill that emptiness is Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus as King, you need to make your way down here. You need to take that trip. Take that trip down here so we can pray with you and show you the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and how wonderful and faithful He is. Hallelujah. Also, I'm going to pray, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that this word that was given this morning, Holy Spirit, show us those things that we need to take off of the throne, that we need to make you first place in our life. Lord, maybe it's with our attitude. Maybe it's putting you on the throne instead of our job or our business. Thank you, Father God, that we put you on the throne instead of our hobbies. Thank you, Father God, that we put you first place in our life. And yes, Lord, you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Let's pray this together. Father God, I invite you into my life. I know that I have tried it my way, and it didn't work. I need you, Jesus, on the throne in my life. I accept you as Lord. I believe that you died and rose again, that you rose from the grave in 3 days, that you're on the right hand of God, and now you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Pastor Ricky and I is going to meet you at the back. We're going to have Brother Steve close us up, but glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Awesome. Great word, right? Great word. Isn't it awesome how God will open up scriptures. We maybe read these scriptures thousands of times, and He will open our eyes and show us new things. It's wonderful. Let's thank God for the word. Father, we thank you and praise you for the ministers of the Gospels. This morning we were looking at the scripture, Father. You said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace. So we thank you and praise you for that, Father. Father, I ask that that word go deep, deep, deep into us, Father, and that we hang on to it. Holy Spirit, speak to us what you want us to see and know from that word that we heard this morning. Help us hang on to it. Don't let it be taken away from us. Help it to keep us in front of us. Father, I ask that you bless all of those that are here, Father, that you give them the real peace of the season, not the peace of the world, but the real peace of this season and your peace. And we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.